Have you ever gone into a grocery store or Walmart, something like that? You went in, you had a certain amount of things you wanted to get. Maybe you had a grocery list or a list of things. You go in, you get them, you find your way up to the check stand. You're ready to go, and all of a sudden, you are bombarded. You're bombarded with candy bars, chips, energy drinks, and Us Weekly magazine and the National Enquirer. And I know at our local Walmart here, oftentimes they have the As Seen on TV section right up front there when you're getting ready to check out. And all of a sudden, you didn't want it, you didn't need it, you weren't thinking about it, but all of a sudden, you've got to have that red copper kettle that you saw on TV. Or you have to have that bag of Cheetos or that Rockstar energy drink or whatever it is. You know the stores do that on purpose, and they call that impulse buying. They put that stuff up there while people are waiting to try to get them to just buy one more thing so that they can bring up their revenue just a little bit more for the day. But what I want to tell you today in today's message is that sin works an awful lot like the stores and those impulse buys. Is that Satan will often come into our life and he has a certain strategy. Just like those stores have a strategy to get you to buy their stuff, he's got a strategy to get you to fall to temptation. So today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how to recognize that strategy, how to overcome that strategy, and live the greater life that Jesus wants you to live. And so if that sounds good, today's message is absolutely going to be for you. So we're going to talk about it. Thank you for being here, and welcome to the Refuge. You ever go to like Walmart or a grocery store, something like that, and you have a certain maybe list of things that you want to buy, or you have to go in real quick and you get something. You go in, you get it, you come up front, you're waiting at the check stand, and all of a sudden you are bombarded. You are bombarded with chips and cookies and sodas and energy drinks. And you know, at our local Walmart here, they've a lot of times up near the front, they've got the As Seen on TV section. So they've got all of these things from the infomercials that you see on TV. They've got the red copper pan and the Snuggie and the Flex Seal and all of that stuff. And all of a sudden, you feel this compulsion to either buy that snack or buy that red copper pan. You weren't thinking about it. You don't really need it. You don't really want it. But you feel compelled to buy it just because you're standing there waiting and you're being bombarded with all those different things. You probably know that that's not by accident. That stores do that on purpose to try to get you to buy that extra little thing, that extra little bag of chips, that extra little doodad that they want you to buy so that they can amp up their sales a little bit and they can get you to buy more stuff. And as I say, you probably know that is on purpose, and that's called impulse buying. They do that on purpose. The same reason they have up front, they've got the Enquirer magazines and the People magazines, because as you're standing there and you're reading the headlines on those things, all of a sudden you feel like, oh, I just need to get that and take it home and read it. That's impulse buying. They do that on purpose. You're not thinking about it. You don't want it. You don't need it. But sometimes you just feel like, oh, I'll just grab that thing just because I feel like I need to. And what I want to share with you today is that the strategy of sin works very much like that. Satan actually works very much like that in your life in the area of temptation to try to get us to fall into sin. And so we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to talk about what the strategy is. We're going to talk about how to recognize it, and then we're going to talk a little bit about how to overcome the areas of temptation in our life so that we're not constantly falling in those areas to those impulse sins, those places where Satan is coming and tempting us when maybe sometimes we weren't even expecting it, but there it is. So as we're getting into that today, I want to give you my bottom line. It's my bottom line for this entire series. By the way, if you didn't watch last week's message, I want to encourage you to go back and watch part one of this message because it really ties into today. The bottom line for this entire message is this: sin kills the greater life. Sin kills the greater life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. He said, I've come to give you purpose. I've come to give you salvation. I've come to give you all relationship with me, with the Father. I've come to give you all of this stuff. But we must recognize that when we're living in sin, when we're operating in sin in our lives, that it's killing the greater, more abundant life that Jesus promised us. And so we want to learn how to avoid that, how to overcome that. That's what this series is about, and I believe it's going to help you today. So our jumping off point has been a scripture from Hebrews chapter 11. And that scripture goes like this. It's talking about Moses. It says, by faith, Moses, when grown, refused the privileges of the Egyptian royal house. He chose a hard life with God's people rather than an opportunistic, soft life of sin with the oppressors. He valued suffering in the Messiah's camp far greater than Egyptian wealth because he was looking ahead, anticipating the payoff. And so what I really liked about that, I shared last week that I read that from the Message Bible. I don't often read from the Message Bible, but I really liked the way that that was phrased, the opportunistic, soft life of sin. Because sin is just that. It's opportunistic. Sin is like that impulse buy when you're standing at the store. Sometimes you're just wandering along, serving God, minding your own business, and all of a sudden there's a temptation in front of you, and it just seems to overtake you. And there you find yourself in a place of sin when maybe you weren't even expecting it. And so sin is very opportunistic. We talked last week about the fact that Satan, that he knows your weaknesses. He knows where he can hit you. He knows the areas of temptation that are going to work in your life better than others. And he knows how to hit you just at the right time to get you into that place of temptation and to get you to fall for that temptation. And so in this series, we're talking about how to recognize those things. We're talking about the characteristics and the attributes of sin, how to recognize those. And then we're giving some of those tips on how to overcome, as we said. And so understand this, sin is very opportunistic. And so we're keying in on understanding how sin is opportunistic in our life. We're going to continue that today. And I want to start by saying this, that sin, I just want to give you one thing about sin today. And that is this, that sin is a strategy. Sin is a strategy. If I were to sit here today and just start listing off sins, we could go on for days. There's murder and adultery and lying and cheating and stealing and gossip. And we could just go on and on and on about all of the different kinds of sin that are in the world that tempt us every single day. And those things can seem overwhelming. Like, how in the world am I supposed to avoid the temptation to all of these sins all at once? But what I want to tell you today is that the key is not to try to figure out how to overcome every sin, but I believe the key is to be able to recognize the strategy of sin in your life, recognize how Satan works to try to draw you into the place of temptation so that you can recognize it and you can get away from it when you're recognizing that happen. You don't have to know how to avoid every temptation in the world. You just have to know how sin operates, and that's what we're going to continue talking about today. And this is going to be a great word for you. I believe it's going to help. And so I really want to key in today on the strategy of sin, and I want to look at a verse in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, and it's going to really be an eye-opener if you're not familiar with the scripture. It says this, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." So right there, I have given you the strategy of sin. If you can just know and understand those two verses, you will be able to know and recognize Satan's strategies in your life, no matter what sin he's trying to tempt you with. And so let me break that down, because that seems very simple, right? The strategy of sin, actually, the strategy of sin is quite simple. The strategy of sin is to get you to love the world and to love the things of the world. That's it. That's it. Let's pray. Let's shut it off. Let's go do something else, because we've covered it, right? The strategy of sin is to love the world and love the things of the world. So if we can avoid doing that, we're good. We're golden. We'll live a sin-free life. Probably not, because we can recognize it and we can see it, but we have to understand at a deeper level what's going on there to know how to overcome that. And so that verse goes on. It says basically it says this. The strategy of sin is to get you to love the world and love the things of the world. But then he goes on and he tells you how Satan operates to get you to love the world and the things of the world. I hope you see where I'm going with that. In verse 15, he says that we have to avoid loving the world, the things of the world. In verse 16, he says how Satan operates to get us to do that. And he says those areas are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So I want to say this to you today. And for some people, this is hard to understand, because it seems like it can't possibly be this simple in concept, but it really is this simple in concept. Is that Satan is only going to attack you in one of three areas in your life. Of all the thousands of different kinds of sin there are in the world, they all fall into one of three categories. And if you can recognize those three categories when you're being tempted, you'll be able to understand that and get away from it. And those three categories he gives you right there in verse 16. He says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And I really want to kind of key in on those three things in the temptations of Jesus, because we see in the story of Jesus' wilderness temptations that Satan is attacking him in those very three areas. Jesus was attacked and tempted in the very same three areas that we are attacked and tempted in. And we also will find in what Jesus did the way to overcome all of those attacks. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So let's take a look at that. We see the story of Jesus' wilderness temptations in a couple places. We see it in Matthew chapter 4, and we see it in Luke chapter 4. Very similar accounts to the same event. But I want to kind of key in on Luke chapter 4 here for this message today. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says that the Holy Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted. The Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness for the purpose of temptation. Now, we may look at that and go, well, why in the world would the Holy Spirit lead Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted? Didn't Jesus teach us to pray that we would not be led into temptation but delivered from evil? So why would the Holy Spirit lead Jesus into the place of temptation? And I believe there are three reasons, and I want to share those real quickly with you, and then I really want to key in on the third one. The first one is Jesus had to be tempted because he had to overcome temptation. We are sinners. Jesus was not, but Jesus had to prove it. Jesus had to go through his life, overcome the temptations that we cannot overcome, so that he could go on and be the perfect sacrifice to shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven. So first of all, Jesus was driven into the wilderness so that he could overcome. Second of all, Jesus had to experience. Jesus had to experience. What do I mean by that? The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is our great high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses because he was tempted in all ways in the same way that we are tempted. And so Jesus had to, in order for Jesus to become our high priest, in order for Jesus to be the one that could come between us and God and bring us salvation and bring us into God's plans and purposes, he had to experience the same temptations that we experience. And so Jesus was driven out in the wilderness to be tempted because he knew that we would be driven into a wilderness of temptation just about every day in our lives. So first, he had to overcome temptation. Second, he had to experience temptation. And the third one that I really want to key in on here for the rest of this message today is that Jesus had to go into the wilderness so that he could expose the strategy of sin. So that he could expose the strategy of sin. While Satan is tempting Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus is really playing him and getting Satan to give up his whole game plan so that we could recognize how Satan works in our life. And Jesus is able to not only endure those temptations, but overcome those temptations just in the same way that we will also be able to recognize, endure, and overcome those temptations in our life. And so how did Jesus do that? How is the strategy of sin exposed? Again, what did we say the strategy was? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And so when we look at Luke chapter 4, in verses 1 through 4, Jesus is driven out into the wilderness to be tempted. And it says that Jesus had fasted for 40 days. So Jesus is out there in the wilderness. He's seeking his Father. Satan comes to him and tempts him. And the Bible says because he had fasted, quite obviously he was hungry. And Satan comes to him and says, you know, if you are really the Son of God, why don't you command those stones to become bread and satisfy the hunger of your flesh? And so Jesus' response to that is, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, we look at that and we go, well, it's just about a rock and bread. It's not about rock and bread really at all. It's about flesh. Satan comes to Jesus and says, why don't you do something to satisfy your flesh? Instead of fasting and seeking God, why don't you just eat that food and satisfy the hunger that is crying out inside of you? Why don't you choose your flesh over the purposes of God right now in your life? And Jesus' response is, I will not choose my flesh, but I will choose the word of God. I will choose to follow what God says and not give in to my flesh. Now, in our lives, our flesh is not really about bread. Our flesh is about all of those things that we do just to satisfy our carnal, sinful nature. You know, some of the big ones that we consider big ones are sexual immorality, sexual sin, or maybe addiction that our flesh is crying out, so we go get high. Or there's many, 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 many ways that we satisfy our flesh. But the point of the matter is that Satan's first temptation to us is in the lust of the flesh, just like it was for Jesus. And so Jesus' response to that is to say, no, I choose the word of God. I choose God's purposes over my flesh. And so key number one is learn how to understand and recognize when you're being tempted to satisfy your flesh and do things that might make you feel good in the short term, but in the long term, they turn you away from God and they get you doing things in your life that you know you shouldn't be doing or that are keeping you from God's purposes in your life. So the lust of the flesh, Satan operates through our flesh. Number two is Satan doesn't only operate through our flesh, but he operates through the lust of our eyes. In the temptations of Jesus, after Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God, Satan takes Jesus up onto a high mountain, the Bible says, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you will worship and serve me. And so, what is that all about? Satan takes him up on a high mountain and he appeals to what he's looking at. He shows him all the kingdoms of this world and says, I'll give you authority. See, he tempts Jesus with what he's looking at. He says, I'll give you authority over all of this if you will worship me and you'll serve me. And when you look at that, you know, some people go, well, Satan didn't have the authority to be able to even offer that to Jesus. But the fact of the matter is he really did. Why could Satan say, I have authority over the kingdoms of the world? Because you go back to the garden, you go back to Adam and Eve, you go back to the original sin, and you will find out that the original sin, guess what? It was a temptation to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In fact, in Genesis 3, it says those things in that very order. It says, Eve looked at the fruit. God had said, don't eat it. But Satan had tempted her. And the temptation was this, Genesis 3 says, the temptation was this looked good for food. It looked good to satisfy her flesh. It says that Eve looked at that and it was appealing to her eyes. So that was the lust of the eyes. And then it says that this fruit would give them great wisdom that would allow them to be wise like God. So they thought. And so that was to their pride. We want greater wisdom. We want something greater than what we have here. So even in the original sin in the garden, Satan appealed only to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So you see that's a pattern throughout Scripture that will be till the end of time. Satan is going to tempt you in those three areas. But back to Jesus' wilderness temptations. Satan comes to him and he says, I'll give you all authority. And Jesus does not dispute that Satan has that authority, because when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the dominion that they had been given by God was given away to Satan because they sinned against God and rebelled against God. So Satan really did have that authority. Now, the interesting thing about this is that the reason Jesus came to this earth was kind of twofold. It was to save sinners, and it was to retake over the authority of the kingdoms of this world. So the reason he was on the earth was to take over the authority of the kingdoms of the world. And so Satan is offering him something that may look like it's part of God's plan for his life. Well, this is why I'm here. So I could just ignore that cross stuff, ignore the living in a perfect life stuff, and just take over the authority of the kingdoms of the world, and I'll be fine. In fact, if you read the book of Revelation, you'll find out the book of Revelation really is about Jesus taking over the kingdoms of this world again and taking that authority and setting up his kingdom. So Satan is tempting Jesus to shortcut his purpose. And so he shows him with his eyes. He shows him things that he would lust at. Oh, I want that. I want that. I would love to be over the kingdoms of this world. Satan tempts us the same way. In fact, this particular temptation is the same temptation when you're standing in the checkout line in that store, is that you're looking at something you don't want, you don't need, you may not even really be able to afford it, but in that moment, it seems like that you see it and you want it, you see it and you need it. And that's how Satan tempts us in our life. He tempts us through lust. But when we're looking at someone, we're seeing something we want, we covet something that somebody else has because we're seeing it and we want it. And so that's the lust of our eyes. And so Satan tempted Jesus. Well, what was Jesus' response? No, Jesus says, I'm going to worship God and worship God alone. I'm not going to worship you, because ultimately, as I worship God and I follow God's plan, I am going to have authority all over all these kingdoms, and there's nothing that you can do about it if I stay tuned into the Father. So Jesus rejected the lust of the eyes. Then you move on to the third one, and the third one is this, the pride of life. Satan then takes Jesus up onto the temple, and he says, if you are the Son of God, look at this appeal to his pride. Jesus never had to prove that he was the Son of God. He just was the Son of God. But Satan appeals to his pride and says, if you are the Son of God, why don't you show the world how great you are? After all, if you are the Son of God, you've got the angels at your beck and call. You've got the grace, and you've got the mercy and the favor of the Father in your life. Why don't you just move right on past the whole crucifixion thing, move right on past the whole be rejected thing, and just show the world how great you really are? So throw yourself off the temple and let the angels catch you, because after all, isn't that what the Bible says? See, the Bible does say that God will give his angels charge over him, but Satan was not appealing to godly purposes. He was appealing to the pride inside of Jesus. And so Jesus, again, rejects Satan and says, no, you do not tempt the Lord your God. And he rejects the temptation to pride. And so he overcomes Satan. When you look at the entirety of that story, you see that Jesus overcame the lust of the flesh, he overcame the lust of the eyes, and he overcame the pride of life. Once again, let me tell you, if you will understand that the strategy of sin is that Satan is going to tempt you in one of those three areas, and those three areas alone, you will be able to key in and recognize when temptation is coming your way. And so with that in mind, I want to give you my one point this week about, okay, here we've been talking about how sin works, but I want to give you one strategy, what I've been calling the greater life lowdown, because sin kills the greater life, right? Sin kills the greater life. So what are the strategies for us to be able to live the greater life? And last week we talked about the strategy that love is a sin killer. If we're living, Jesus said the greatest commandment was love. If you love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself, you will fulfill all of the commandments. In other words, if you could love God perfectly and love people perfectly, you would never sin. Now, none of us can do that. That's why we need the grace of God. But we need to be pursuing love in our lives. First and foremost, the love for God, and second, the love for people. And the more that we love, the less that we will sin. That is a fact of Scripture. And what I want to say today, though, is that was last week. Love is a sin killer. What I want to say to you today, just for the next few minutes, and I'm getting ready to wind down today, is this, that godly discernment is a sin killer. Godly discernment is a sin killer. What do I mean by that? I left out something as I was telling you about that story of Luke chapter 4, and I left it out on purpose because I wanted to give it to you right here at the end. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, not only did it say, as I said, that the Holy Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted, but it says that Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, was led out into the wilderness to be tempted. So what is my point? Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. See, we have to have discernment in our lives to be able to understand when temptation is coming and be able to be empowered by God to overcome that temptation. And so the first and foremost way we do that is by being filled with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is living in us, active in us, the Bible says that he has come to be our counselor, to be our advocate, to be our guide, to be our teacher. And when the Holy Spirit is filling us and the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, living in us, leading and guiding us, he's going to be the answer to that prayer that Jesus told us to pray. Remember, I referenced it earlier. Jesus said, when you pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What is the means by which Jesus has given us to be led out of temptation? It is the being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so in your life today, if you're struggling with sin, just pray and say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you to fill me. I need you to fill me up fresh and begin to speak to me again. Be able to lead me, guide me. Open up my eyes so that I can see the lust of the flesh, the eyes, the pride of life, so that I can see those temptations when they're coming, so that I don't even find myself falling into it because I see it 20 miles down the road and I know how to be led away from it because it's the Holy Spirit that is leading me out of it. Now, one more thing about discernment. The Holy Spirit gives you discernment. Be able to see, to know, to understand what's happening. But what does the Holy Spirit use in our lives to give us that discernment? And I say to you this, that discernment comes by the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. I want you to notice this, the final thing that I want to say to you today. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to open our eyes to be able to avoid temptation. When Jesus was in the wilderness, and this is maybe one of the most important things I'm going to say to you today. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he did not overcome sin by some sort of spiritual like ninjutsu. Like he was a spiritual ninja because Jesus was God and he just overcame with just the sheer power of God. That's not how Jesus overcome temptation. If you look at Matthew 4 and you look at Luke 4 that we were talking about today, you will find that Satan was overcome by the Word of God. Now, why did Jesus do it that way? Why did Jesus overcome Satan with the Word of God? Why didn't Jesus just sort of give him the Jedi mind trick or to just wipe him out? Why didn't Jesus do that? Because Jesus had to overcome the same way that we overcome. And so Jesus has given us the Word and the Holy Spirit and able to overcome temptation in our life and overcome sin in our life. And so it says Jesus went out filled with the Holy Spirit, and that he responded to Satan in every account by accurately quoting the Word of God. When he's tempted to turn the stone into bread, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's a quote from the Old Testament. When he's tempted with the lust of his eyes, he said, you shall serve the Lord your God and worship him only. It's a quote from Scripture. When Satan took him on the temple and tempted him in the area of pride, Jesus said that we shall not tempt the Lord your God. And so Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, responded with the Word of God. He had the discernment the Holy Spirit gave him to understand the temptation, and he had the discernment of the Word of God in his life to be able to know what to say and what to rely on in order to overcome. So I want to tell you that today. If you want to overcome sin in your life, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, ask him to fill you up. If you've been filled up with the Spirit before, but your life is feeling dry and you're struggling with temptation, just go back and say, Holy Spirit, fill me up again. And begin to give me discernment when temptation is coming my way. And begin to open up your Word to me so that I can discern what I need to do, what I need to say, where I need to go, how I need to be acting in my life according to your purposes. Because that life is going to lead me to a greater life. Sin kills the greater life. But being filled with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Word of God brings us into the greater life. And so I want to encourage you to do that today. If you do it, it'll work because the Word of God always works 100% of the time, because the Word of God is not just a book. It's living and active. It's empowered by the power of God himself through the Holy Spirit. And it's not for just certain people. It's for anybody. It's for you today. If you need to overcome temptation, just say, Holy Spirit, fill me. If you've never been saved, if you've never said, Jesus, come into my life and save me, forgive me of my sins, I want to encourage you to do that today. And then say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. And then get to a place where you're in the Word of God so that the Word that you're putting into your life, the Holy Spirit can bring back up out of your life, and you will defeat sin. You'll defeat temptation every time. And that is a guarantee from Scripture. And that's an awesome thing. It's an awesome promise God has given us. And it's an awesome pattern that God has revealed to us through the temptation of Jesus. Hey, I want to, as I say every week, thank you for joining me today. You could be somewhere else doing anything else, but you're here, you're hungry for God, and I pray that God would move in your life. And I want to encourage you, please drop a comment in the box below. Let me know that you were here. Let me know what you think. Please hit the share button, the subscribe button, the like button. Help us get the word out so that we can preach the gospel and let people know how good God is and what God wants to do in their life too. So I appreciate that. Let me pray for you today. Father, thank you for anyone that is watching or listening to this today. I ask that you would touch them. I ask, God, that you would give them godly discernment. I ask that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit fresh. Lord, for those that may be watching this that would say, I just need a fresh touch, Holy Spirit. I pray right now you would come into that room, come into that car, wherever they're at, and fill them fresh with your Holy Spirit. And then let your word begin to come alive in them. Let them see the strategy of sin trying to operate in their life and give them the power through your Spirit and your word to overcome that. And I thank you for that. I give you all honor and praise today. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks again for being here.